Welcome to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Votes, the show for fishermen by fishermen. Today's show is brought to you by Enigma Fishing, Cast, Catch, Repeat. Visit Anderson, South Carolina, home of beautiful Lake Hartwell. Phoenix Boats, experience the difference. And by the Bass Anglers Sportsman Society. Now, here's lifetime BASS member, Tom Abraham.
Welcome to this week's episode of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. I am Tom Abraham, your guide for the next hour as we feature the Bassmaster Elite Series and those looking to get into that exclusive group through the BassPro.com Open Series and the up-and-comers on the Carhartt Bassmaster College Series presented by Bass Pro Shops and the tens of thousands of Bass Nation anglers around the country competing on the local level, all with a chance to advance to the big leagues of professional fishing. The Bass Nation operates youth, high school, and college programs, including a Junior Bassmaster Championship, a High School National Championship, the College National Championship, and the College Bracket, leading to the Bassmaster Classic. The Bass Nation is at the grassroots of who we are, and for more information on how to become a member or to start a Bass Nation Club, visit Bassmaster.com and click on the Nation tab. The best way to communicate with the show, to post your pictures or tell us your stories or just comment on the show is to visit our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/BASS or on Twitter at Bassmaster and use the hashtag Bass Radio. You can also listen to all the shows at Bassmaster.com/radio or just hit the watch button at Bassmaster.com and click on Bassmaster Radio. What a tremendous tournament that we are in the midst of. The St. Lawrence River and Lake Ontario just never failed to produce tremendous fish, and it hasn't been just smallmouth on a drop shot. The largemouth have come out to play as well. Now, day one featured a nearly 8-pound smallie from day one leader Paul Mueller of Connecticut, who already has a win under his belt this year at the St. John's River in Florida. Now, that fish was just 7 ounces off of the New York State smallmouth record. What diversity for Mueller there. ESPN2 has had all of the Bassmaster Live coverage of the Site 1 Bassmaster Elite at the St. Lawrence, and they will have the Lake Champlain event coming up beginning on Thursday as well. That's another great fishery. Not fishing in this event after taking a medical hardship for the rest of the season is Strike King Pro Mark Menendez, and Mark is coming up later in today's show. Also, the BassPro.com Bassmaster Eastern Open at Oneida Lake the first week of August had to be canceled due to COVID-19. Tournament Director Chris Bose will join us to explain why and tell us what the plan is to replace that event. And by now, we've all used a Z-Man chatterbait, and now they've come out with a new one with a clear blade called the Stealth Jackhammer. In fact, the new bait won a Best in Show award from the recently completed virtual ICAST show. And
welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And now, you know what? We're going to do a sponsor spotlight segment with a company that's not a sponsor of ours, but that's okay because this is a fantastic product. You know Z-Man by now. You know about the chatterbait. It's one of those great, great products. And now they just won best in category for their new Stealth Blade Jackhammer chatterbait, which is basically a chatterbait with a clear blade. I mean, this is genius that they came out with this thing, and I think it has an opportunity to really, really do good. And joining us now is Daniel Nussbaum, who is the president of Z-Man. Dan, welcome to the show, man. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on, Tom.
Well, I appreciate you joining us here. And first of all, chatterbait is one of those things. It's like Kleenex, Q-tip. It has become a word that we associate to a category that is a bladed jig, but everybody really just calls it chatterbait. And that alone tells you just how popular this product has been over the years.
Yeah, the chatterbait really created a new category of bladed jig. And, it's kind of here to stay, I think. Like a jig or a spinnerbait, now they're bladed jigs. It's a whole new category. And, we're pretty lucky to have some good patent protection on the way our blades connect to the heads of the bait. And it gives it a really unique action that we think is a lot better. And I think a lot of bass fishermen agree with us.
I think it was probably 10 or 11 years ago, the first time I tied one on and used it, and it was just kind of weird, you know, and you're not sure, am I supposed to jig this thing? Am I supposed to bring it in a steady retrieve? You know, how do you fish it? And the answer is all of the above. I remember fishing a tournament with Charlie Hartley, actually, and he was throwing it up in willow grass, in real shallow willow grass on Old Hickory Lake, and I kind of learned a lot about using it at that particular point in time. But one of the things about the chatterbait seems to be its versatility. You can use it in so many different ways, around grass, around docks, around open water. There's just so many different ways to use this thing.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And, you know, initially it was thought of as a grass bait, a pre-spawn bait. Mm. But, you know, now, I mean, we're seeing that we're selling these things year-round. And, I mean, even people fishing them deeper in the summer. And, you know, it doesn't have to be around grass. It could be, you know, really anywhere. And that's kind of the neat thing about it, is it's just kind of, you know, a lot of applications where you use other baits, spinner baits, jigs, even crank baits, a chatter bait will work too.
Yeah, a tremendous job with it. Who came up with the idea? Who was it that first said, you know what, I think if we put a blade on the jig, it'll look, you know, who came up with this thing?
Yeah, so it's actually a guy named Ronnie Davis from here in South Carolina who came up with it. And, you know, he was making them in his garage. And he's a tinkerer, a really neat guy. And we actually just came out with another new chatterbait product called the Willow Vibe that he designed. So we kind of circled back and are working with him again. But it was his idea. It was born in a garage right here in South Carolina. They ended up applying for patents and ended up, you know, basically selling the intellectual property portfolio to Z-Man after we started distributing it for them, because they basically couldn't make enough of these things in their garage. But it's really truly a unique product. It was really a groundbreaking invention, so to speak.
Yeah, no, it has been. There's no doubt about it. And that brings us all the way forward. And you guys were in the skirt business, and you got the plastic, so it was kind of like you were all around this same type of product for sure. And then you come up with this idea now to go to the clear blade. I know that Brett Height really believes in it, did a great video on it at your website. How much input did he or any of the other pros have in it and say, you know, if we had a clear blade with this thing, it might be a little more subtle in clear water? How much input do those guys have?
Yeah, Brett was really, really involved in this one. And you know, I was thinking about it the other day, and this bait was really born, I'd say probably 2 years ago, where we came out with a new jackhammer. It had been on the market for about a year, the first jackhammer. It was doing really well. People were catching fish on it. Really, it was blowing up. And we were thinking about, well, what can we do next? And you know, a clear-bladed chatterbait is something that's been kicking around in my head for a long time. Actually, originally, we wanted to do one with a kind of the circuit board kind of lip from like you see on a crankbait, and then started thinking about it a little bit more, a clear polycarbonate blade. And, you know, Brett and I started talking about it, and, you know, I don't remember if it was Brett that mentioned it or I mentioned it. We had definitely been kicking around the idea a lot. But, you know, that's the great thing about working with a pro like Brett, that is so meticulous and has such great attention to detail, and also working with a Japanese company like Evergreen, where, you know, quality and refinement and attention to detail is so important. And, you know, Brett and Evergreen basically ran with the idea after we decided to move forward with it. And, you know, it's with a clear blade, I think it's something that, and we found this during testing, is it's a little bit more finicky. You have to have everything exactly right, the size of the blade, the thickness of the blade, the way that it's attached to the head. So it was really difficult to get this one right, but I think in the end we nailed it.
Yeah. I'm a big fan. Of course, the jackhammer's been outstanding. Evergreen and your partnership with them to make this, the components are tremendous in that thing. I am a big fan of black and blue with the black blade. Mm-hmm. That's just the way I roll with it. I guess it's black and blue or white, you know, and we all like to throw white at a certain time a year in certain conditions. There's no doubt about it. Daniel Nussbaum with us talking about Z-Man and the new product that came out. Best in category at ICAST. That's a thing. I mean, it was a virtual ICAST this year, but certainly that is something that's got to help the product as well to be honored with best in category at ICAST.
Absolutely, yeah. We've gotten a lot of buzz and attention. Actually, just about 10 minutes ago, the award actually showed up and nice. Get a chance to take it out of the box. So that was pretty cool. And this is the first award that Z-Man's won. You know, in the past, we've always, the way we've looked at the new product showcase at ICAST is we're going to put everything that we make in there. We're not out to win awards. We're out to sell baits. You know, the baits that we make, a lot of them, like the Finesse TRD, which, you know, we sell a bunch of and people use a bunch of, people catch fish on them. I mean, the whole goal is to make something that catches fish and that people will buy. And a lot of times you see things win the awards that are, you know, kind of gimmicky, like, you know, like a duck with spinning feet or something like that.
A couple years ago.
And that's not Z-Man. You know, not a knock on that, but, you know, that's probably why we haven't won an award before, but it made this really cool to see something like this Stealth Blade, which is really just a tweak to a product that's been around for a while. And it was neat to see that, you know, just that one little innovation is enough to get people so excited.
Do some of your guys, I know sometimes your pro staff would be like, hey, you know what, I mean, just hold off for another minute, Aaron, before you just get that one out there. It's I know they like to kind of keep it secret, but the manufacturer often wants to get it to market as quickly as possible.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, our pros did a good job of keeping this one under wraps. It was really cool when we got the final samples in just about a month or so ago, and we started sending them out to our pros to fish with. The feedback that we got from them, I mean, we had a couple of guys that caught fish actually on the first cast with it, with the final version, which, you know, that's pretty cool. That's when we knew that, you know, this is really something special.
Of course, you could do a whole nother show on the Ned Rig. That's another thing that you guys, you know, have been at the forefront of, that has taken on a whole life of its own, where everybody's coming up with some sort of an imitation of it. But what you guys do is the original. It's fantastic. You do the Elastec plastics as well. Do you do some of those plastics with, as a trailer in mind for the, you know, for the chatterbait? Because some of those grubs, you make great trailers on the chatterbait.
Yeah. And, you know, Elastec is the perfect material for a chatterbait trailer, really any kind of jig trailer, because you put it on there and it's not going to tear. You're not going to replace it all day or even, you know, maybe all week or all month. But we do one called the Razor Shad that works great on the chatterbait, a variety of paddle tail swim baits and craws. But we just came out with one at ICAST called the Goat, which has two little tails that really kick and thump, and it just looks great on the back of this Stealth Blade. You know, you can rig it a couple of different ways. You can rig it, you know, kind of, it's a flat bait. You can rig it sideways or you can rig it more horizontally, and it, you know, gives it a neat action. It kicks really well. So yeah, we're continuing to kind of broaden that Elastec product line. And especially when we make things that work well with the chatterbait or the Ned Rig, they really seem to do well for us.
Daniel Nussbaum has been our guest as we feature Z-Man and the chatterbait and the new Stealth chatterbait. It is fantastic. You guys are doing a great job. Daniel, I appreciate you coming on so much, and good luck with the new product.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on the show.
All right. Thank you. All right. We'll get a break in here. When we come back, Chris Bowes will join us from Bass. He is the director of the Opens series, and he'll give us the latest update on what's going on there. Next on Phoenix Boats, Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
Hey, and welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now, as I said, an opportunity to talk to Chris Bowes. You know, we've been watching what's happening with the elite schedule, and there's been a lot of jumping around there. And, of course, the elites are fishing at the St. Lawrence River this week, and they're doing a tremendous job up there, as always. ESPN2 with an incredible amount of coverage, and then they will be at Champlain next week. What won't happen is the Opens event that was scheduled to be at Oneida the following week, and it would have been very convenient for a lot of the guys, because there's so much crossover now between the Elite Series and the Open Series, but unfortunately that one went by the by. So I felt like, you know what, let's talk to the executive director of the Opens, the tournament director of the Opens, Chris Bowes, and get an update on what's going on there. Chris, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, thanks for having me on, Tom. I appreciate it. Things are crazy for sure. We just, as you mentioned, just had to postpone our fourth Open event of the year, push it back later into the year. We're talking with a few different coast, different locations, and we really hope to roll something out next 7 days or so as far as where those eastern anglers can look forward to wetting their lines in the fall.
Yeah, and that's what it's become. It's basically going to be a fall circuit for sure. The next Central Open is coming up out at Sam Rayburn on September 10th through the 12th, and then Easterns will get going again on Lake Hartwell September 23rd through the 25th. You know, it's been an amazing amount of work for guys like you and, you know, the tournament directors to try and come up with the schedule. We see also high school and college events being moved around and so on. It's been really something, but it speaks, I think, to the cooperation that you get from a lot of the communities that you are able to do this, you know, as quickly as you have, really.
Yeah, I mean, you make a great point. It's certainly, there's a lot of hands from not only the staff at Bass that are, you know, ever changing things. It's almost day to day, but certainly working with our great partners, our hosts, our sponsors. You know, obviously we have an element with JM and their production team that also have to get heavily involved to make this happen. And this conversation is so timely, Tom, because all morning and into this afternoon, I've been working on the manpower logistics schedule for the tournament team. I actually, that's one of my side roles at Bass, is to basically move personnel and equipment around event to event. And gosh, it's crazy. You know, usually we're winding down our season as we get into, you know, end of September or so. But really, I mean, it's just, that's just the start of it.
Well, and it's been so interesting on the Opens, as I talk about it every week on the show, as far as, you know, encouraging folks out there to get into the co-angler program with the Opens, because you can't get a better value. $450, $475, 2 days with a pro. You're only competing against other co's, so you're not competing with the guy in the front of the boat and all of those things. Plus, though, this pro side of the Opens this year is the best, arguably, that we've ever seen. You have so many guys trying to get into the Elite Series, coming from other series, and they're working their way back into the Elite Series. I mean, it's a who's who is fishing this thing. So for this year, you know, it's kind of unfortunate that this has happened with the scheduling. The flip side has been the live coverage, the Bassmaster live coverage of the last Open, the Central Open, was incredible. I mean, it was really, really a good watch, and that's tremendous for these guys' sponsors, and it's tremendous for Bass.
Yeah, the fact that, you know, some folks who have taken notice of certainly the talent and the media offering that we have with the BassPro.com Bassmaster Opens, it was great to kick it off finally at the Arkansas River, and we were looking forward to, you know, continuing that momentum at Oneida, but unfortunately we're going to just have a little delay in that. But I think this fall the Bass fans are going to get to see a lot of exciting action. There's going to be either a Bassmaster Elite Series or a BassPro.com Open basically just about every week, and, you know, potentially with football, you know, high school football, college football, and even NFL kind of uncertain, their future uncertain games are this day well filled the void of a lot of sports fans. You know, a lot of people have mentioned too that last few years with both the Opens and certainly more so even the Elite Series, you know, kind of missed that fall fishing and some of the techniques that are so, you know, productive that time of year. You're really going to get to see a lot of it this year.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt about it, and it shows the versatility certainly of the anglers. Now, a few of them are going to rue missing 3 or 4 days in the tree stand, you know, I mean, but they're just going to have to deal with that, I guess. But it, you know, I'm thinking about some of these events that are coming up, you know, when the elites get to Chickamauga in, you know, mid-October. I mean, it's just going to be so beautiful there. Cherokee for the Eastern Open. I'm so looking forward to the BassPro.com Eastern Open at Cherokee Lake, you know, at the end of October. It could be stunningly beautiful up there at that time of year. Not only will the fishing be great, but it's just it's a beautiful part of the country to be at that time of year. So there's that aspect to it as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. 100%. We're going to get to see some of these places at a different time of year, experience the fisheries at a bit different time of the year. And my guess is, you know, some of those folks that really excel, some of those anglers that really excel in that style of fishing, they're really going to take advantage of this opportunity.
We had heard earlier this week that from the elites, they all will automatically requalify for next year. So assuming there is no natural attrition there, I think 88 or so elites right now. Some people have asked me, hey, what's going to happen? I thought, you know, there would be guys qualifying through the Opens. They still will do that. I mean, the elite roster will grow a little bit at this point in time. Is that the thought process? This has not changed the fact that there will be open anglers who transfer over to the elites. Is that correct?
100%. We're fully committed to those 12 spots, the four overall top finishers in points, including the points from all eight BassPro.com Bassmaster Open events. And then after that, the top four in both the Central and Eastern will qualify. And obviously, you take out those careers. Good chance there'll be some of those overall qualifiers maybe in those top four. So there'll be 12 new qualifiers through the Opens.
All right, so explain to the listeners why we're watching fishing at the St. Lawrence and we will next week at Champlain, yet the Opens can't go to Oneida. What was the hang up there that ultimately caused the postponement of the Oneida event?
Just like, you know, we ran into Cayuga, which, by the way, that's another event that you and I haven't talked about, that we're committed to reschedule that Cayuga Elite tournament. It will not be at Cayuga Lake, but again, another addition to the schedule you'll see this fall. Kind of like Cayuga at Oneida, that's Onondaga County, and like most governments, I know here in Florida where I live, and certainly in New York, we find that the governors basically let the counties kind of dictate what they can and can't do, and obviously that way they can kind of manipulate it depending on the number of COVID-19 cases, transmission rates, and a lot more smarter people than I are making those decisions. And after conversations, and Onondaga County really worked very, very hard. I don't want to sell them short. And I've seen some stuff where, you know, people feel like that we weren't wanted. That is far from the case. They wanted us real bad, and they were doing everything they could. But they ultimately needed to get their health department sign off. And part of that was getting a commitment to test like they did with the elites, the 80-plus elite anglers and the staff, roughly probably 100 to 125 people. With the Opens, we had a full field of 225 boats, pros, co-anglers. So we had 450 anglers, support staff, camera folks, as you mentioned, the Saturday Live, things like that. You know, we were probably 500 people, and they just didn't feel comfortable, and we didn't feel comfortable that they could commit to doing that much testing, testing all of those folks.
And then finally, Chris Bowes with us here, tournament director for the Open Series. You're doing two things at once. You're probably doing 10 things at once, but the other thing that you're doing is, as this is like you say, we're getting closing in on the end of the Opens season here. You're working on that 2021 schedule and so on. So you're still doing that while you're working on a fall schedule for Opens. You're still looking ahead because it's going to be an immediate turnaround possibly, because some of these, you know, the Eastern Opens, we fished them as late January, early February in the past. So, you know, that's right around the corner as well, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, certainly it's been a challenge, and you know, we try not to schedule Opens on top of elites. So I need to work with Eric Lopez, who works with the host on the Elite Series. And boy, it's hard for us to get together right now because we're at events, and he's got a lot of stuff on his plate, obviously, and I do. So we're having some challenges, but we're starting to build that. We're seeing the pieces. I've actually got a few locations already committed and feel really good about, and a few more are probably going to happen, and then there's a few that, gosh, I just haven't had time to have the conversations yet. But I would not be shocked. Probably the bigger issue than actually locking in the locations and working with the hosts is our registration aspect. That that you don't have with the Bassmaster Elite Series, because, I mean, these are just guys, and they, you know, they're qualified, and boom, they're either in or they're not.
Always a pleasure, Chris Bose. Tons of information there on the Opens. Just keep watching Bassmaster.com, and they do a great job getting that information out ASAP. Chris, I really appreciate everything that you're doing this year under trying conditions. You're doing a great job, you and the whole team, and we'll wait and see what the schedule is. We'll be ready to fish when it happens, that's for sure.
I know you will, Tom, but gosh, I hope all the fans are watching that great action on ESPN2. That is so huge for a brand, and I've been finding it very compelling, and, you know, who doesn't like to see giant smallmouth bass caught, and gosh, they're catching some real nice largemouths too, so it's really got something for everyone, so catch that action on ESPN2.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Tom. Take care.
We'll get a break in here. We'll come back. Mark Menendez is up next. We'll talk to him right after this. This is Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And now joining us, a guy who is taking a medical leave of absence for the rest of the season. I know he hates it, especially with the coverage coming up on ESPN2 for the next for a couple of weeks, this tournament and again next week's tournament. He is Skeeter Pro Mark Menendez. Mark, welcome back to the show. How are you, man? How are you?
Well, Tom, thank you for having me. I'm about as dumb as I always have been, so that's a good thing. But I'm working hard to get back physically, and it's just a long, slow road when you're dealing with nerve issues. So, but I'm okay, and we're heading in the right direction.
Tell us what happened now, because you were at Eufaula when all of this went down. You were ready to go down there for the DeWalt Bassmaster Elite at Eufaula, and I know that you were looking forward to that. I'm sure you're kind of fishing there, and so exactly what happened?
Well, it was late in the second day of official practice, and I'm looking at my Garmin map, and I see a piece of structure that looks out, Tom. It lays out just like one of my favorite pieces of structure on Barkley Lake. It's a place we call the rollover. And I said, well, my goodness, there's a rollover right there. So I pull up on it, knowing exactly where the fish, I'd never seen this before, knowing exactly where the fish position on my rollover at home. I sling a 6XD out there, a silent 6XD. And the very first cast, I'm winding that plug back in 13, 14 feet of water, and one eats it. Well, what do you do, Tom? When one eats it, you kind of sweep your rod back to the right. I'm a right-handed guy, so I sweep it back to the right. And it was like somebody shot me in the on the buttocks, like Forrest Gump, actually. And I'm like, wow, that hurts. So I catch that little fish and make 4 or 5 casts. And about 15 minutes later, I realize that pain is starting to grow right on the top of my right hip. And that's how I basically hurt it. I fished the rest of the evening, found 4 more pieces of structure that were very similar and comparable. 2 in the creek and 3 on the lake. And every one of those pieces of structure had a good school of fish on them. One of them had a really good school of fish, Tom, you know, those 3 and 4 pounders.
Right.
So I was ready to go, and the next day I went out and practiced, and about 9 o'clock I thought, you know, well, I've been stung in the buttocks again, and it's kind of hurting a little bit. And so I thought, well, you big dummy, go get the feet out of the back of your skeeter and put it up front.
Yeah.
That worked for about 45 minutes, and about 45 minutes later I had to turn the butt seat around so I could sit on the edge of it, and that gave me some relief. About noon, a big old storm came through, and I ran back to the dock to get the boat out of the water. And when I stepped up on the dock, Tom, I did everything but fall in the lake, because my right leg just gave out from under me, and I put it on the trailer and went immediately to a chiropractor, found a chiropractor, and got no relief, and called my best friend and his boys, and they came and got me the next morning and carted me back to Paducah. The boys drove my boat and truck, and David took me to the orthopedic center in Huntsville, Alabama. I have a bunch of doctor friends there, and those guys have actually been the Strike King healthcare providers for a very long time, and they got me in and worked me in and gave me good news and things to do, and that's what I've been doing ever since.
Well, you know, in my other life, I am I host ESPN Radio in Alabama, and TOC Sports is one of my great sponsors, and Dr. John Greco, a great friend, and in fact has been on the show many times to talk about sports injuries, including fishing injuries. So maybe I'll need to get him on to talk about the Menendez injury.
Now let's back up here, Tom. Dr. Greco has no friends. I promise. I fished with John many times, and he loves bass fishing. He was very helpful with my wife and her illness. He has done shoulder surgery on me. Those guys at the TOC are outdoorsmen, and they really do promote outdoor life strongly in their work, and they host a great tournament that I've been to many times, and I really have a great affinity for the TOC.
The question
in Huntsville, Alabama.
The question is, have you fly fished with him in Montana? Because that's his guilty pleasure. I mean, you know, he's got the place in Montana. Of course, he's got a place on my home lake at Tim's Ford Lake. He's got a place on Gunnersville. I mean, you're right. He is an outdoorsman. There's no doubt about it.
He really is, and I had him out one day in Gunnersville, and we got to snapping those big spoons around, and we caught several really, really good fish that evening. And but like I said, Dr. Greco does great work on shoulders and knees and things like that to keep us outside.
Let me ask you this. Mark Menendez with us. He's on a leave of absence now, a medical leave of absence for the rest of the season. And look, you're going to be 56 in September, right? I'm pushing 60, so I get it. But is there certain shoes, certain footwear that can help our aging anglers? I know you do a great job staying in shape, a lot of stretching and so on. And then also the padded decks now. I mean, is there even additional, does that help, you know, to have the padded decks? I know you got on your Skeeter, for example.
Well, when the padded deck came in, that was like somebody flipped the light switch on. I'm thinking, my gosh, why? We put it in our house. We put carpeted padding under our carpeting in our homes.
Right.
So why don't we put that on a boat? And it was like day and nighttime. It takes all the lower extremity, takes all that wear off of you, and it makes you feel so much better. I do go overboard on footwear. I spend quite a bit of money on shoes because I never wear any shoes out, Tom. I always break them down because I stand in them all the time.
Right.
And I have worn Asics for years, some of the higher gel Nimbuses and things like that, models like that with the Asics. And those have suited me better. Now, not everyone wears a certain brand of shoe, but that particular shoe is the one that I always shop for, and it certainly seems to give me the support I need keep me standing strong in the bow of that boat at all times. So, yes, you do need good footwear. And I do not understand these guys that are wearing flip-flops out there.
I can't get it. Or barefoot.
It just amazes me.
Yeah, or the barefoot guys. I mean, there's a number of guys that we see fish barefoot. And I know Aaron Martins told me one time, he says, well, why not? I mean, God made the foot perfect. It's a perfect thing. I said, yeah, but I don't know if he knew that we were going to be standing in front of a bass boat for 9 hours fishing when he made that foot.
Exactly. And if he were standing in my boat for 9 hours, he'd have to dodge all the crankbaits that are laying in the bottom of it and hooks in the bottom of it. It's not a good place to get in my boat barefooted, I promise.
Yeah. Mark Menendez with us here. And the other thing that's got to be painful besides the pain that you're feeling in your back is, look, ESPN2 live coverage. We've been watching it all this week here with this tournament at the St. Lawrence. It happened again next week at Champlain. They did it at Eufaula, 2.8 million viewers. You got a great sponsor list. Of course, you do a lot of TV yourself, but what an incredible opportunity, what a job Bassmaster did really to get the guys on ESPN2 and get that extended coverage during this time where everything has been so negative during a pandemic.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, here's the deal about that, Tom. You and I are going to watch, if it's on a remote, obscure television channel, you and I are going to watch that because we're hardcore anglers. We want to do that. But here's what's happening with ESPN2. A lot of people have their television on as background noise in their homes. A lot of people are working from home. And now we're able to get bass fishing in front of people that may know nothing about it. And it sparks some type of interest. And that's the real way to grow the sport, is bring people into the sport that don't know much about it.
Yeah.
So this coverage is just unbelievable how many people that we're going to serve up bass fishing to right in their own home that may know nothing about it, that may go buy a couple of Strike King crankbaits, or they may go buy a Lose rod and reel for the first time. They may take their kid fishing, and the kid becomes an addicted bass angler like the rest of us. This is a really positive step to get the most exposure that we can for our sport and really, really, truly, and honestly grow bass fishing to a new level.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I had that experience with cornhole. I was never really one that went out in the backyard and played cornhole, but they showed these cornhole tournaments on ESPN, and I was watching it, and I'm like, you know, we ought to have one of those in our yard here, and sure enough, we got one. Next thing you know, I was throwing beanbags around. So, yeah, so maybe the same thing will happen. And we know that there is 8 million new fishing licenses issued this year in the United States, a 37% increase in fishing licenses, and then the question will be how many of those stick, you know what I mean? Because most people, once they get out there and they experience that, they realize that, you know what, you know, this is pretty cool. So, I mean, the explosion, 37% increase in fishing licenses this year across the country.
That's amazing. You know, you go to a boat dealership and there are no boats. There's no inventory across the country right now for bass boats, pontoon boats, outboards, whatever it is. There are none. You go to a sporting goods store and you want to buy your favorite spinnerbait? Well, it's probably not there right now.
All right, in our last couple of minutes, you do a lot of work with the biologists and very involved with Kentucky Lake, which is right there near you in Paducah, Kentucky. And, you know, it's taken quite a hit recently. Tell us what the latest is, though, on Kentucky Lake. And are we going to get that great, great fishery back? How much of it is the fishery? How much of it is the fishermen?
Well, that's a great way to put it. It's about 50-50. This springtime is the most excited I've been on Kentucky Lake in quite some time. We lost some numbers of fish. Some folks want to point at the Asian carp issue, which is a mitigating circumstance, but we had three really bad spawns, 12, 13, 14, 13, 14, 15, right along there. We had spawns where the water level got jerked up and down, and we had very poor recruitment. So we didn't have a lot of fish being recruited into larger sizes. I'm pleased to report that this spring was the best spring that I've had on Kentucky Lake. I filmed a couple of shows up there, my Mark Menendez Bass TV shows, and I had one show done in 30 minutes, Tom.
Wow.
And that day I ended up catching about 30 bass in that good range. I caught a lot of 14.5 to 15-inch fish. I caught several over the 15-inch limit, did have a 3-pounder and a 6-pounder that day. But the key is these numbers of undersized fish that are coming through the system. So we've got a great basis for the fish to come back. And one of the really surprising things, Tom, the number of spotted bass that I grew up catching here back in the 80s, that number's on the climb again, starting to see a lot of those 15.5 to 18-inch spotted bass that weigh 3 to 4 pounds. It used to be a world-class fishery here for spots. So that's turning around. Tennessee has introduced or reintroduced the Florida F1 fish again into the Tennessee waters that made the lower end of Kentucky Lake big time, big fish alley. They haven't done that in Kentucky. We've not added any fish here in Kentucky, but we have in Tennessee. And what happens is when you introduce those Floridas into a particular cove, that becomes home. They imprint on that area and they stay in those areas. So that's one of the great things about Floridas. So we've got that Florida gene now in the Tennessee River. This far up, it was a great success at Chickamauga, and we're hoping for it to work again. You know, 8 or 10 years ago, Tom, it was not uncommon to catch a 10 to 11 pounder.
Right.
You know, we'd see a couple of those a year on that middle section of the Kentucky Lake. So we're hoping that we'll get back to that.
Yeah.
What anglers are seeing right now is that the fishing is pretty tough, and anglers need to change their thought process about Kentucky Lake because it's always been a great offshore lake. Those fish aren't getting out there like they used to. They're having to find secondary areas, which means they're living much shallower than what they have in years past. And anglers need to start fishing shallower than they have in the past on Kentucky Lake in the heat of the summer, fishing isolated cover, fishing moving water, whatever it takes. And you're going to find some of those fish again. So it's doing well. I'm very pleased, and I have a great amount of hope for Kentucky Lake here in the near future.
You're singing my tune because I love shallow water fishing, and I'm glad you're coming back off of the ledge a little bit for sure. Mark Menendez has been our guest. Mark, get better, get well, and we'll reach out to you for some analysis of some of the tournament action throughout the rest of the season.
Well, I appreciate it, Tom. I'm looking forward to trying to get over to JM and doing some of that live analysis with them on the live coverage,
sure,
if not on ESPN2. So I'm going to stay active. I've got a very rigorous PT program and a lot of exercise that I've been doing. My beautiful girlfriend, Melissa, makes me get my butt off the couch and walk with her. And I'm getting better. It's just going to take a little while. I have an MRI coming up next week to really find out what the problem is and what's holding me up. But we're moving forward, and I'm looking forward to seeing all the great things that the guys at Bass do here on ESPN2 here very, very shortly.
All right, Mark, I appreciate you, and we'll look forward to talking again. That's Mark Menendez, a tremendous pro, 20-year veteran on the tour. All right, we'll get a break in here and come back and wrap it up next. This is Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
Final segment of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio, and as we add this show back to the dock, let's take a look at some news and notes from around the pond. Marshall spots are available for regular season Elite Series events for just $99 per tournament. As part of the program, at every tournament, participants will enjoy an exclusive dinner and a meet and greet with all of the elite anglers, as well as receive official Bassmaster Marshall apparel and products from tournament sponsors. Visit Bassmaster.com/elite for Marshall registration. The 2020 BassPro.com open season is underway. Visit Bassmaster.com/opens for all the info you need to get registered for this series. It's the highest level a co-angler can fish and is a tremendous way to hone your skills, learn from the pros, and maybe even make a few bucks as you compete against other co-anglers. This year's pro field is better than ever, so grab a co-angler spot now. And due to the incredible high interest in the Open Series, the championship round of the Opens will be broadcast on Bassmaster Live all season. While you're at Bassmaster.com, click on Sweepstakes for your opportunity to fish with Bassmaster Classic Champ Hank Cherry. The winner will get round-trip domestic airfare, 2 nights hotel stay, a rental car, and $500 spending cash. But wait, there's more. How about a brand-new Basscat Saber FTD with a Mercury 150 and a Garmin Electronics, plus a pile of goodies from Hank's sponsors? Total value of this package is over $52,000. And don't forget to sign up for Rapala Fantasy Fishing at Bassmaster.com. Each event is an individual event, plus there is a season-long champion, and each week's winner will win $4,000 in cash and prizes, $4,500 if you are a member of Bass. And get this, the grand prize is worth just over $20,000 in cash and prizes. Just go to Bassmaster.com and click on Fantasy for rules and to get in today. And while you're there, join our Bassmaster Radio group, where each event's winner will receive a rod and reel combo from Enigma. And everyone that finishes ahead of me is entered in a drawing for a prize package from VisitAnderson.com, Rapala, Missile Baits, and Phoenix Boats. Just search Bassmaster Radio under the Groups tab. Now taking a look at the upcoming tournament schedule. Of course, the next event is next week, the Bassmaster Elite at Lake Champlain, and that'll be out of Plattsburgh, New York, and that will be competed July 30th through August 2nd. And one other scheduling note, as usual, our boys at Anderson, South Carolina, and Visit Anderson and Lake Hartwell have stepped up once again. They will be hosting the Mossy Oak Fishing Bassmaster Junior Series at Lake Hartwell August 30th. They'll also have the Mossy Oak Fishing Bassmaster High School Series at Hartwell. That's presented by Academy Sports and Outdoors. That is also August 30th. So remember, if you missed any of this week's show, just to click away at Bassmaster.com/radio, or just hit the watch button and click on Bassmaster Radio. So until next time, keep those lines tight and nets heavy. I'm Tom Abraham, and this has been Phoenix Boats.